Old and in the Way Sisters. Laugh and learn with me, Janet.
And me, Nancy.
The Bitchin' Sisters. As we tell it like it is. The way it was back then and the mess we're in now.
We're growing old in a new world with skyrocketing costs, crazy fashions, changing norms, and I hate to remind you, with limited time left. We've got some practical ideas that might work for you.
And we definitely have some opinions that you might have too.
We'll entertain you and inform you. Let's look back at how it was and ahead to what's coming.
And if you're young, maybe you can learn something from your elders. Supposedly we're wise, but we've definitely been there and done that. Growing up racist. This is my history. 1953. I'm 9 years old, living in a little town on Long Island, New York, where my father is a nurse at the VA hospital to support our family of four kids. He's bringing a work guest home for dinner, which was really rare. And this woman is Japanese, he says. And he said to the four little kids and mom, "We have to be very nice to her." Why wouldn't I? I wondered. Mommy probably made a flavorless dinner as usual. She wasn't a very good cook. The guest gave us a gift of a set of quaint wooden salt and pepper shakers. I have one to this day, which is probably the only reason I even remember this whole event. But years later, I realized that my father had been in a war, in the Navy, fighting against the Japanese, and he thought that we might be disrespectful towards the Japanese woman. But we were too young and too innocent to feel any hatred or scorn.
How would we even have known she was Japanese?
Right. Somehow, this memory gives me a sense of distaste towards racism. Now, this is not to say that my father was a liberal-minded man.
Oh, boy.
He taught me the hierarchy of the various ethnicities in this part of the country, on the East Coast. It boiled down to Italians have restaurants, Greeks have ice cream and bakery, Chinese have laundries, Jews were merchants, Irish were cops, Slavs were waste disposals, Negroes, as they were called, did menial labor of many types. Never mind that my father was the son of Polish immigrants who were so poor that they ate, according to stories, grass soup during the Depression. I wondered as an adult how he felt and how he fit in. He joined the Navy. He got a college degree on the GI Bill. That's how he found his place. You were probably too young then. You were probably too young to remember any of that stuff.
But it sounds like you're being carefully taught. You've got to be carefully taught, according to the song.
Well, yeah. As far as blacks went, I don't think I ever heard my parents use the N-word, and we kids didn't. But there were common terms involving food and kids' chants that we repeated, unaware of how insulting they were. I'm happy to say that I have recently heard my great-grandsons using appropriate terminology. Progress. We didn't live near blacks, but as we would drive through New York City to visit my grandparents in upstate New York, we drove through Harlem. And I noticed that the automobiles were new and shiny. Many had, you probably don't remember this either,
no.
They had ornate horns on the hood. My mother explained, Negroes own these cars to show how much money they have because they can't get fancy jobs. Now, my mother, she was from English and Welsh parents. Her father had tuberculosis, and he and his wife moved from the city to the Catskill Mountains in upstate New York, where he supposedly could get better. And during the summers, they rented out these little bungalows to Jews from New York City.
I love those bungalows.
They were pretty icky, actually, but, you know, we were young. The wives and an occasional kid would visit, and the husbands would come on weekends. People were in a panic about polio, which they thought was associated with cities, summer heat, and beaches.
Boy, you're living through history.
Yeah.
And I read about it, but I was not part of it. It's kind of interesting to hear.
Well, my mother said that these people were friendly and nice to me when I stayed with my grandparents during the summer. But my mother said that the Jews were greedy and they didn't become Christians because they were disappointed that Jesus was a poor man instead of the rich Messiah they wanted.
Boy.
But I have to say, her religious beliefs were very loose. She only believed the parts that she liked.
Well, she wasn't alone.
If you can imagine that. Now, while I was staying at my grandparents' house, we kids would go through the woods and fields to Davies Lake for a swim. Just the kids. There wasn't a single house on this beautiful, placid mountain lake. We were a bunch of kids in swimsuits jumping off a long wooden dock.
We loved it.
I noticed one of the little Jewish girls. She had something on her wrist. A tattoo.
What?
It was numbers. Just numbers. A sudden horror of realization. Nazi concentration camp.
You knew that?
Yeah. I mean, maybe I asked my parents. I don't know. But that stayed with me. A little girl. Then we moved to a rural town in Wisconsin in an effort to start over. My father had had a disruptive affair here for the first time. There were Indians. Since I was from New York, I had been brought up to think that even New Jersey was the wilderness. Wisconsin, I truly expected to see teepees lining the highways. Well, I was wrong about that, but I did see something that I thought was just horrifying.
What?
A woman was pumping gas, putting gas into her own car. Instead of a gas station attendant doing this, I thought, this is just like Russia, where women even cleaned the streets. So I was in for a few surprises.
You had culture shock.
I had culture shock. Well, but I was probably in maybe the eighth grade when we were told that a Native American lawyer would be addressing our class. For many years, I remembered his name, but I will never forget his presentation. He busted every stereotype his race had been strapped with. I couldn't have been more impressed to think that I had believed in the TV version of Native Americans. A lifetime later, we had a Native American in our family for a few years.
Who?
Irene.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. But by now, we've had a potpourri of family members. Gays, Native Americans, Jews, born-again Christians, blacks, Buddhists, Bengalis, many atheists, Catholics, and more. It's getting boring.
Oh, boy. You know, when you grow up and all of a sudden certain people who don't look like you are in your classes, you get used to it. It's not a big deal like it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah, my little and great-grandkids go to a school where some of their teachers are Miss, some are Ms, and one is Mix.
Okay.
Who knows? Anyway. But I had this background. My parents, our parents, they weren't fanatics about anything. And when I was a child, what my parents taught me and what my culture was were what I knew. Books, TV, those were my influences. But as I became older and had my own experiences, I saw that many of my early lessons were really not correct. And I developed a sense of empathy towards others, whoever they were. I really can't see that we're all that much different. And I hope this is what I've passed on to my children, my grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And I did marry a man who grew up Jewish. We've been together for over 40 years. He's not greedy. He's anti-religion. He's all about kindness and generosity. That's Mark.
When I was in college, there was I rented an apartment in Tallahassee, and there was a family next to me. And I'll never forget the five-year-old boy coming over one day, and I don't know what brought it on, but I remember his comment. He said, "I hate all niggers except Charlie Pride." And I thought, you were carefully taught, weren't you? Where did you get that from?
Yep.
It's sad.
Janet and I come to you twice a month with new episodes. Some are funny, some are serious, some are just our crazy opinions. I hope you enjoyed our show.
Me too. It's been a pleasure. We are Nancy and Janet,
the Bitchin' Sisters.
Music by Hall and Signor.